everyone. Welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by finding people in the WordPress and Divi community to interview and talk to and have their stories and experiences shared with you. This week, I am talking with Travis Seitler.
Seitler.
Okay. Yep. He is a brand new member of our development team here at Elegant Themes. This week has been our first time meeting in person. We've only previously met on Slack, so it's a very cool time for us on the team. And we're going to sit down and just talk about what his new role is, what his story is, and as usual, what that means for the community and the future of Divi. So let's dive in. Travis, welcome to Divi Nation.
Thanks. Now, I'm excited to be part of Divi Nation now.
We like to think it's like one of the most active, enthusiastic, and above all, empowered communities on the web. So hopefully, and it's from the little bit that we have talked so far, it seems like you're going to play a good role in making Divi better and making our community even more empowered than they are already. So that's the goal.
not too much pressure, though.
Yeah, right? No pressure. So Travis, tell us where you're from and how you got involved with Elegant Themes.
Okay, cool. I'll try to not be too rambly.
That's okay. Yeah, you're fine.
So I grew up in Pennsylvania, small, like on the edge of farming communities and stuff. And I was always like the nerdy one in the family. So, you know, gravitating toward computers and then later web design and stuff. Worked in different places, like a lot of in-house development teams and stuff. Mm. Did some freelance here and there. Spent the last 7 years or so working with an agency that works with a lot of they call them DMOs, destination marketing organizations. So it's it was a lot of stuff like the official, you know, such and such state tourism travel planning guides and stuff. They were primarily a Drupal-centered development company, and I was one of the few employees who felt comfortable working with WordPress. But on top of that, I actually liked WordPress. So there were a handful of clients who insisted on using WordPress despite the whole Drupal emphasis. Yeah, like, so
I ended up... You know what we do, right?
Right. But I ended up basically just inheriting all of those projects and with all those clients.
And so did you kind of get hooked through that, or was it you just realized there was stuff that you liked doing in it better?
My first taste of WordPress was back in 2004.
So you were already quite familiar. So, it wasn't like you had to learn on the job to go like, what's this WordPress thing?
Yeah, no. Okay. It was just with the type of work, the type of customization and really intense like third-party API integrations and stuff these clients wanted. Like that last 3 years in particular, like I just grew tremendously as a developer just because I had to. I was basically the only person in the company who even had a shot in a way.
Isn't that crazy how that works? It's like, you know, you probably would never in a million years put yourself through some of those ordeals, but the fact that it's just like, it's got to get done and I got to do it. So I guess I'm learning this now.
Yep.
I love the fact that that happens all the time in our type of work. I mean, the best example I can think of is Divi 3.0, where basically the entire staff, developer staff, was like, I guess we're learning JavaScript. And then, and then they created a world-class JavaScript application basically. So very impressive. And I love that that's kind of like the lifeblood of the developer community. We see that in our community all the time, where people are figuring out how, basically taking client requests and going, I guess I'm learning this now because that's what they want, you know? And so I'm going to sit down and figure it out. And then, you know, a year later you look back and you're like, I'm way better than I was a year ago. So that's one of my favorite phenomenons of our work. So talk about how you went from working at that company to like what was the road from there to coming in contact with Elegant Themes and kind of coming on board here?
Well, like I said, it was this it had been this sort of period of intense learning and pushing myself and growing as a developer, and then it sort of reached a bit of a plateau sort mm-hmm. of phase.
Sure.
And I guess I started feeling like maybe there wasn't. It was like I was starting to become the big fish in the small pond in a sense. Mm. It was like I've kind of learned what I'm able to learn here.
Outgrown the environment basically, a little bit.
I'll basically just be like maintaining I stay here in this spot. And my wife was actually the one who drew my attention to Elegant Themes.
Oh, no
looking
way.
For developers and stuff. I mean, like I was familiar with the company and all already.
Is she a developer as well?
No. She knew how I was feeling with my role there and all, and she was trying to nudge me in a positive direction.
Oh,
she's
well.
Awesome like that.
Let me thank her sometime.
but then on top of that, like, you know, also I was kind of intimidated by you guys. It was like, oh, well, I'm good, but I don't think I'm that good, you know?
Yeah.
But she's like, well, apply any way. The worst they'll do is say, no.
Yeah.
But no, it's cool because it's like, you know, I've been thrown right back into that whole learning and stretching thing again.
Oh,
because it's like, you know, I'm solid with PHP. I'm good with JavaScript and all. You know, I know my way around UX, UI
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. But React and JSX is just this whole new world for me.
Yeah.
So I've just been like thrown right in the deep end and stuff. And
so what kind of stuff are you hoping to focus on? Or, I mean, I don't know, but maybe you know what areas you're going to be focusing on here, since this is, I mean, what, your first month still?
Yeah, well, we're like a month and a half
okay.
in.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still kind of in the training phase, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember that well myself, so it's pretty normal. But what are you going to focus on?
Well, personally, I mean, like, I guess it may sound weird to some people, but...
I think I know what you're going to say.
I actually love debugging.
Yes.
Just the whole process of taking something that's broken and mm-hmm. it's also like a mystery why it's broken.
Yeah.
And then just like having this sort of, detective solving a mystery sort of process.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also this awesome way to learn why the different pieces are working the way they're working and how they interact and stuff. So
I think like... a huge segment of our community just cheered because that's like one of my number one things I see on social media. They're like, I found a bug and no one's talking to me about it. I want to figure it out. And I'm like, someone's on it. But now we got someone who not only is on it, but they love it. So it's going to happen.
So that, but also, you know, not just using that newfound understanding from that process for myself and making mm-hmm. things easier the next time, but also trying to apply that in like a documentation sort of thing. It's like there's a lot of cases where I might figure out some sort of weird collusion of two or three different pieces, but making a point of documenting that in a way that helps the next person down the line, but then also, you know, will help us like in the long term begin to think of like maybe there's a more efficient way of mm-hmm. combining different pieces of code over here, or maybe this is a great opportunity to open this part of the code mm-hmm. up to like third-party integrations or customization on like more the user end and stuff. But
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's we're kind of in a documentation phase, I feel like, in the company right now. I know we've had we've been doing these releases every week, and while we're doing that, we've been getting overhauling all of our documentation articles and documentation videos, and then like the stuff that you're talking about would be a combination of internal developer documentation and third-party documentation developer documentation, which is kind of the next big project on the documentation front. So that's all going to be like incredibly useful to our community, particularly when the marketplace launches and people are like running into these same issues that we've had to wrestle with, you know, we release an update and all of a sudden we learn all these things about how Divi doesn't work with this, or it does work with this, but in a weird way. We can then pass all that information on to people who want to create stuff on top of Divi without them having to learn all of it the hard way, basically.
Exactly.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So I'm curious, what's your impression been the first little while? Like what's not fishing for like, it's been great, but like, but I mean like, has this kind of work environment, product, et cetera, how's it been different than the stuff you've worked on in the past?
Well, at least as far as like kind of the sections of the company that I've been primarily interacting with and stuff, speaking as a strong introvert, it's much more introvert friendly than some of the previous places I've worked. Like that, it's
except for this interview.
Well, sure, yeah, but this is just you and me talking. Yeah, you know, this is just like a private little conversation.
Private
it's not
chat.
Going anywhere. Yeah,
that million. No, I'm just kidding.
It's you know, there are work environments that tend to be more set up by. It's like I want to be careful how I phrase this. You know, I don't want to offend
people. You don't
want to
burn
any
past
like,
bridges.
people talk about how there's kind of like you can generally break down work environments into like these two different classes where, you know. And specifically, like for development and coding kinds of companies, tech companies, you've got the kind of developer-oriented sort of office structure and workflow structure kind of stuff, where it's focused on keeping people in that state of flow,
sure,
you know, continual progress and stuff. And then you've got kind of the sales and marketing-oriented setups where it's all about the I mean, from the developer's perspective, continual interruptions and, you know, stopping to shoot the breeze for 5 minutes is more important than those three lines of code that I was focused on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's been great because, you know, especially like I was saying with the whole, you know, being thrown in the deep end with React and JSX, it's like it's giving me that time I need to like really focus.
Absolutely.
Because you got to hold so many things in your head simultaneously while you're doing that stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the interesting things I think about a distributed company is I almost feel like we have our sort of core values as a company. It's, you know, it's community, it's empowerment, it's design. You know, those are the three things that our product and community represent, our internal culture represent, but there are different ways to express those. And I think because we're distributed and on a daily and weekly basis, we're really only interacting with our team. You get a developer version of that. You get a designer version of that. You get a content production version of that. You get a sales version of that. And they don't often, maybe ever, have to overlap, you know?
Right.
And so each team can kind of settle into the groove that works for them. And you guys can stay in flow. And we can do our research, and sales can sell, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. Yep. And I kind of like that. I mean, it's not something you run into if you're at a physical location, hardly ever, in my experience. Were your some of your past gigs at go to the office type thing with the whole company there, or was it also distributed but just a different culture?
Most of it's been like physically go into the office and stuff. Most recently, it was kind of a mix. It was like primarily in the office, but also working remotely when you need to, when you want to, and stuff. Yeah. But it's been a long time since I was working in like my own office with a door and stuff. So,
Is that what you're doing now? You got like a home office or a co-working space?
What I have right now is a corner of the family dining room.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody who's watched the podcast knows that I was just in my living room for, you know, two years.
No, it's good. It's, you know, we, We've got four kids.
Yeah.
And we homeschool them.
Oh, wow.
And
wait, so you have like classes in between coding?
Yeah, primarily at the dining room table. So it seems like it'd be really distracting, but it's the sort of thing where I can be like kind of aware of what's going on with everybody because I sit with my back to the wall. So I've got kind of like this little pocket sort of
type thing. Yeah,
I've got my desk, so I'm basically facing out into the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have my two like big monitors and stuff, so it blocks most of it. So I can be like sort of vaguely aware and kind of present for the family, but also like everyone's basically like in their books doing their work and stuff, and they're kind of doing their own thing. So it's
really cool.
It doesn't end up being super distracting.
That seems fun. I mean, that seems like a this is a total tangent, and I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but I think there's something neat about being a kid and seeing adults who still like to learn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we were just talking about how jumping in kind of over your head and being a little bit excited about that and like just going for it is part of our culture. And I think, you know, like in the traditional school environment, you get, you know, you sit down and the teacher's almost like it's a chore to teach you. They're like, oh, my gosh. And it's nothing new for them. They did it like four classes in a row before you, and they're going to do it 100,000 classes after you.
Right.
So it's just like, this is the lesson for today. But they have like an environment where it's like, the adults are just as engaged and challenged as the kids who are learning stuff that, you know, it seems like a fun environment is all I'm saying. It seems like it could be really, really cool.
No, it totally is. And it's like my wife has taken this as her opportunity to go back and learn things that teachers were trying to get her to learn, like in high school and stuff. But now she actually is interested in it.
Yeah.
So
it's weird how that works.
And then like my two middle kids, Joshua, he's 11, Penny, she's 8. They both have a coding bug that they've been bitten with recently. So Josh's been working with like some JavaScript a little bit, some really basic stuff, and he's starting to get into Python because he loves Minecraft and he wants to make his own Minecraft mods.
Nice. That's so fun.
So he's learning Python for that. And then Penny has been working with Scratch.
I'm not familiar.
It's through MIT. It's kind of this sort of free interactive learn to code.
Oh, cool.
Kind of thing. They have this cool drag and drop interface and stuff. But
so does this kind of stuff count as like schoolwork? Or is
it more like extra
projects?
Yeah, it's basically just stuff they're doing on their own. But
that's awesome.
It's fun because like there are things that Penny, my 8-year-old, is starting to learn because of Scratch, where she's like having to think through the timing of multiple effects and like what the end product is going to be when you're like messing with the timings. And she's working with her first if then statements. I'm such a proud papa. but then I get to show her like some of the work I'm doing, some of the things I'm learning, and she doesn't fully get it.
Yeah, but she's
she kind of
like,
gets
it.
And I can see like what you were talking about, like kind of the effect it has on her. Like, she starts feeling more proud, like I'm doing this thing, but my dad is learning this same sort of stuff too, in a way.
Yeah, I love that. I've always thought that was a real cool thing, you know, like and particularly for me it was because that I was in the school system, so I had the dynamic I described earlier, but in my free time it was the like woodworking and sciencey projects at home that would do it, and like my dad would be like, you want to do what? And then he'd have to go figure it out. And then it was like, you know, so that was kind of fun. I'm sure you have done plenty of those types of projects where you're like, oh, okay, now I have to figure out a trade skill or something for this.
Yep.
So having your kids do coding stuff is something that we've talked about potentially. And I don't know if this will happen, so this isn't a promise, folks. But I think it would be really cool if we could find a way to do at DiviCon. So we have this idea, and it'll probably happen this next year, to do a big conference, a Divi conference, and then have like different contests and stuff. So like have 15 minute or, you know, 90 minute, I don't know how we'll break it down, like design challenges. So people like the best thing you can create in 90 minutes using Divi, and then we'll throw everything up and there'll be prizes and stuff. But it would also be cool because we've had a couple parents in the community whose kids are starting to use Divi, and to have a kids version of that where they can also.
That'd be great. And I'm thinking too, like I've been to WordCamps where there have been like
the kids track.
Exactly. But just thinking about Divi and kind of the visual page builder and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that seems like it'd be kind of a more kid friendly approach in a way.
Well, it's like you know, you see kids sort of like pick up an iPhone or an iPad or whatever, and they're like a whiz in 20 minutes. I could imagine at a certain point, you know, that'll be the same with web design, visual page builders and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so let's redirect here. What kind of stuff about, you know, your specialties and the state of Divi right now are you excited to see, like how you can contribute to the improvement or the betterment or the, you know, the next stage of what Divi will be?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think in some respects it's something that, you know, still trying to feel out and all. But I think kind of, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, I guess it's a combination of a lot of things we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You know, what I was saying about documentation, but then also homeschooling for kids and stuff. It's like I'm kind of in this position where I've gotten used to taking confusing topics and issues and trying to like distill them down in an easy to communicate sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, so specifically as it regards documentation.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I might be in a good position to like bring all that to bear and like really, because you know, it's like one of the stereotypical things about developers and a lot of open source projects is there may be documentation. It's not necessarily in any format that
a novice or someone who's uninitiated could just read and go, oh, I know this now.
There might as well not be any documentation as helpful as it is. Yeah, yeah. So trying to bring all of that to bear on, you know, the documentation specifically, like making it comprehensive and easy to understand, easy to translate. I mean, you know, the international community and
That's a great point. I mean, we've had a lot of requests over the last year or so to, especially to expand to at least Spanish, but just make everything a bit more on the documentation side, a bit more accessible to people who are in different countries, because we do have users all over the world. And while we allow them to translate their websites easily and translate the back end controls and all that easily, we don't necessarily have documentation that if they're trying to figure something out that they can do, they can read easily. So that would be cool to find a way to do that.
Yeah. And it's great that, you know, we have members of our team who are all over the world too, who can also help with that, because
totally,
you know, especially when it comes to documentation, it can be this issue where, you know, when you have interpreters, when you have translators, it can be difficult to know for certain that it's being translated accurately. Right.
That's a good point. I wonder what the process for that would be like. Because now that we have updated articles, I wonder if what we'll do is just say, like, find a few languages that have big user bases and also are members of our team and just say, translate this article. Or if we'll, or if we'll like have somebody who speaks the language translate it and then have it spot checked by like, you know, a Russian developer or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that'll be cool. Yeah. So another thing that we like to do on the podcast is talk about like lessons learned and that kind of like, well, one way I like to put it is if you were going to give like a TED talk and yet what's something that you feel like is a profound enough lesson professionally that you've learned that you would be like, I think this is important enough to talk about. Do you have anything that comes to mind in terms of something that's been like kind of shaped your career or the way that you approach your work in the last, you know, several years? I know that's a loaded question. So literally no rush, but yeah, I'm just curious.
Sure.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be development specific. It can be like the way that you go about your work. So for instance, we've had a lot of people talk about stuff like, well, it was my relationship to my work changed when I learned how to establish boundaries with my work and personal life or with my clients and et cetera, et cetera. So
I think probably the one that comes to mind the most is It's funny how, like, you know, we didn't set out with this theme, but it sort of feels like we've got a theme to the episode.
And that's almost always how it works. Yeah.
But there's this there's this term, theory of mind.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Okay.
All right. And, you know, came across it in like going over, you know, again, like teaching our kids at home and stuff and going over different like educational philosophy sorts of things and all.
Give everybody a quick rundown.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So in general, theory of mind refers to the ability to realize that information that you have, things that you're aware of, that's not necessarily knowledge shared by everyone else. So like, for example, you know, a gorilla that has, that's looking at like a table with a banana on it with like these screens around it. And then there's another gorilla on the opposite side of the screen, like kind of the ability to understand that I know there's a banana there,
but
the other one doesn't necessarily know there's a banana there. That's kind of really simplifying it.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way.
But I think like as a developer, oftentimes we end up falling short.
Yeah.
In that regard a lot. Like, you know,
it's something we grapple with on the content team as a matter of course. I mean, like we are always thinking about where are we coming from and where's our audience coming from and how do we bridge that gap, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, in terms of, explaining steps to follow to, achieve a certain end with like, you know, building a layout or fixing a bug or setting up a virtual server environment or something like there will be 75 small little steps that I've just memorized.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily aware of the fact, or I'm not taking the time to slow down and make sure I'm reminding myself that you or Joe or Bob.
Yeah, and this is literally something that anybody in any profession can take advantage of, is just that awareness of the knowledge gaps and making sure that, you know, your own processes. Like, well, I think the guy who gave the famous talk on this TED Talk is about making toast, right? He said, like, if you want to, if you think you have a solution to a complex problem, first tell me how you make toast. and it's the whole idea of like, do you even know how to explain one of the most simple things in a way that someone who's never, ever heard of any of the concepts that you're getting ready to explain could figure it out.
Right.
And that's kind of at the heart of this theory of mind, is like making sure you know what your audience doesn't know and bridging that gap.
And also like, you know, practicing, I guess the humility of, you know, being able to like put yourself out there in sort of a vulnerable way.
Sure.
Like I'm probably making assumptions here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me know if any of this is confusing or doesn't jive, or it seems like there's missing pieces, because I'm sure that I've got blind spots.
Yeah. Well,
like,
what's a good example that you've had in your professional career this in action?
Professional career.
Or not, but kind of like, it seems more, maybe appropriate for the audience, because I can imagine that we're going to have, particularly as the marketplace takes off, we've already got a pretty robust third party community coming up, and they always have to, they're always kind of marketing their own products to other people and explaining how to use it and creating tutorials and documentation. So it seems like, you know, that's something that everybody could benefit from, this awareness of this thing called theory of mind. And I was wondering if you had an example of where you had maybe like not been mindful of it, and then when you were, you made a change that was beneficial.
I mean, really, the first thing that comes to mind is when there's a caching related bug with something.
Yeah, that's just such like a good point. Everybody
always forgets
that. The concept
of clear your browser cache.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
I also know that there's maybe like 3 or 4 levels to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like I've run into, like in an office environment working with, you know, a project manager or something.
Yeah.
And I tell them to clear their browser cache, and, you know, maybe they restart their computer or maybe they close their browser and reopen it, or like, you know, and just that realization that even something that seemingly basic to me probably requires or might require some extra explanation. Yeah. You know,
and not being a jerk about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's something like a lot of people like about the Divi Facebook groups is like I've been in other WordPress groups where you ask a question and you're just beat up. Basically, it's like, why don't you Google it first or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And
yeah.
I get it. Yes, there is merit to that. But like, you know, being okay with other people's knowledge gaps is a big part of like welcoming people to a community, like making people feel safe, making people feel like they're not, you know, they're not going to be, you know, ganged up on or judged for what they don't know, you know, because I don't think anybody's coming, not that I've seen, and going, I don't want to learn, just give me stuff, you know, or just, you know, just do it for me. Most people are asking questions so that they can add that information to their personal arsenal of like what they can now do with WordPress.
And it's not at all a one-way street either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because like, you know, myself as a developer, there have been so many times where like, you know, I'm not even necessarily talking about Divi and Elegant Themes.
Sure.
Just like over the entire course of my career where I've pulled up a bug report and I have no idea what this person's talking about. and then I might try to take steps to reproduce what they're reporting, but I'm not seeing what they're talking about. And then I have to have that conversation with them and trying not to, again, trying to be careful to like do it with humility, not like,
and realizing,
dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not getting that at all. Like,
and realizing that sometimes the gap is on your side and maybe they're going, oh, well, the reason you're not able to do it is because of, you know, XYZ. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe. Do you want to work here?
Or like if I've kind of, you know, without realizing it, I've been falling into sort of a shortcut mode where like, they say this thing's happening for them and I pull it up in one browser and don't see it happening. Yeah. And it turns out to be a browser specific issue.
I know a big one for me answering comments on the blog was I was doing a lot of our tutorial testing on without a child theme.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you create a child theme, some issues would arise or vice versa.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we always have to test our tutorials like with and without child themes and multiple browsers, et cetera. And then we can answer questions, but it's like, sometimes it's not them not getting it. Sometimes it's you like not being thorough or not, you know, being mindful, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I think that's a good, like that, this concept of having an appetite for knowledge, having an appetite for learning and figuring new things out. And being humble as you do that and being mindful while you do that is a great note to leave off on. I think we're about, we might be past our normal limit, but I had a great conversation. I really enjoyed having you on the show. So thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for making me do it.
Thank you so much.
Good time.
All right. Great. Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Once again, thank you, Travis. If you have any questions about what we talked about in today's episode, please feel free to leave those in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks, guys. See you next week.